Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, I was sad and then I loved you and it took my breath. And now I think you love
me. Oh, it's a big day. You like my haircut, Bob? I feel like I look like Paul Wiggin, the old Chiefs coach. I don't have any hair left. But Paul, look at Paul today. This is phenomenal.
You like this? This is. I remember when he bought me this Oiler hat, I was explaining how big of a fan I was of the Oilers, right? And I told him I had a Commander Cody Carlson jersey somewhere. And I had actually, there were a few people on Twitter that said, you don't have a Commander Cody Carlson jersey. I said, I'm going to prove that I have a Commander Cody Carlson jersey, which I bought, by the way, if you remember the game against the Steelers, where all the Steelers had to do was win, and Warren Moon was out. Last game of the season, Warren Moon was out. It was a Sunday night football game.
Yeah.
And Commander Cody Carlson came in and went crazy, and they beat the Steelers. I don't know if you remember that game. It was probably, what, 1992 maybe,
yeah.
Somewhere around
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
And I ordered a Commander Cody.
I can't believe you can still order one.
Well, this was back in the day. Well, look, see, Carlson.
Oh, my God. If you're watching on 93.7thefan.com, you are enjoying yourself. I dare say, Bob, nobody's ever showed up at this station with a better get up than Paul has right now. Do you agree?
The only thing that would top that is a Montreal Expo throwback hat.
And you'd have to include the Andre Dawson jersey.
Yes.
Or Cromartie,
or
Gary Carter.
Rusty Staub.
Ellie Valentine.
Who was the guy that the Pirates traded? Moises Alou.
Maybe that one. What a day we have here. Paul's kicked it off. We're all together. We're reunited. I think it's the best time. One of the best times, I should say, of the sports year. Because things that give fans hope play. Drafts, free agency, and trade deadlines. We love those things because they give our teams hope. Everybody loves it. It might be false hope, but who cares? You're a fan, right? So you want your team to be active. Draft, trades, signings, all of that. We have it all happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
today is free.
Even if it's not, it turns out to be all the efforts are bad. They didn't turn out
well.
Yeah,
we'll figure that out later. We'll figure
it
out months from now. Today's the day in the NHL. Of course, the Penguins are sort of sitting on the sidelines for this one. We have tons of baseball rumors heating up. And we have news breaking on the show. You guys ready for this? It's official. That man in there, the little man we've come to know and love as City Limits, is officially the producer of this show. Let's give him a hand.
City Limits.
City Limits, you're on stage now.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it. It's been great getting to know all of you guys, working with you guys, and I'm looking forward to so much more to come. And it's been a long time coming. I'm happy to be able to finally make it official today, and it's going to be a good ride. I'm excited for it.
Paul's over there crying. Mostly because the announcement on him hasn't been made yet.
Well, no, I clapped. I'm glad. I think he works very well with this show.
Isn't he a nice man, Paul?
He thinks that he does a great job.
Yes.
No, I was actually looking at something here on Twitter. That's all. It's amazing how many, like, whenever this free agency opens, how many of these deals get done like 10 seconds after free agency open. It's like, well,
is anything happening yet?
I thought they were.
Gensel apparently got his deal.
Yeah, yeah. What do you make of that?
I thought they weren't allowed to talk to any. I thought there was like a tampering period or something. Is it? Do they?
Tampa Bay actually revealed the deal. Their own website.
I'm saying, yeah. In NHL, do they have like the NFL with like the legal tampering period?
More or less. I mean, yeah. I don't think technically, but more or less they do, right, Bob?
There's a bunch of smaller deals that are just flying through, and I'm like, well, wait a minute. P.O. Joseph will hit the market at noon, I'm told.
Yeah, they did not give him a qualifying offer.
Whoever this guy is, Renaud something or other.
No.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they bring him back just because they need people. And they don't have, unless he's just willing to go to whomever and they pay more. But, you know, the Penguins will not be big-time players today. When you look at the big names, they're just not going to do it. They don't have room to do it.
All right, then let's open with the Penguins. And here's... coming up here is, to me, one of the most incredible quotes that I've heard in recent Penguin memory.
Ooh.
I think it's the most meaningful quote that Kyle Dubas has uttered since he got here. And God knows he's talked a lot. But this quote I'm about to play for you is mind-blowing. And the fact that it wasn't a headline anywhere is more than mind-blowing. But let me start with a little preface here. Because Kyle Dubas gets a lot of latitude in this town, including for this Kevin Hayes deal, which is being painted as part of a Penguin rebuild. So this guy is now bringing in old, slow forwards who are owed $7 million still with 2 years left on their deal. But because he gets a second round pick attached to it, there's praise involved for him. This is the way of it for the Penguins now. This is their rebuild. See what Kyle Dubas did? He got a second-round pick attached to Kevin Hayes. So watch for more deals like this where they bring in old, slow guys with second- or third-round picks attached.
Yeah.
Where's the praise here, Bob?
I don't know why, because I don't like the deal. They got a second-round pick, and I guarantee you they're looking to the future as well as they say the present. I get it, but it's hard to do both. And St. Louis must have been awfully desperate to get rid of Kevin Hayes to include a second-round pick.
Yeah, just like the Flyers were.
Right. I mean, so that does not bode well. Yeah, you get a second-round pick.
But do you believe that this guy's actually going to be a part of what they do?
Hayes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are they going to do, trade him? What are you going to get for him? The fact that St. Louis gave him a second-round pick, to me, is more an indication that St. Louis said, look, take him away from us. We'll give you this as compensation. I'd like to know what future considerations are.
Probably not much. Everybody seems to want to get rid of Kevin Hayes not long after he gets there, right?
Right.
Doug McLean said recently that 15% of second-round picks ever become impact players. What did you make of this deal, Paul? Kevin Hayes in here.
15% of second-round picks
ever become impact NHL players.
That's not a ton. That's not a really high percentage. It means basically Kyle Dubas is betting on a real long shot, is what that is. I mean, I would think. What I hate about it is because Kyle Dubas made this deal, the knee jerk among a number of people were to try and defend it, and including, well, you know, he said they're going to get younger. I read this one. He said they're going to get younger, and they got a second round pick. What does that mean? Okay, they got a second round pick for someone they're going to pick who, if they're lucky, 3 years from after the when they pick them. 3 years, he might actually help.
Right. You can't, Bob, listen. You can't live in both worlds. You can't.
I don't think you can either. But I think he knows when he took the job that he would have to do some of that just because of what he had in front of him. All these guys tied up to deals with no trade clauses and So he knew that he had. But the thing is, if you're trying to sell this team right now, which is what I thought was the primary motivation for him coming here, you had Sidney Crosby, Malkin, you added Carlson to Letang. That's the pri- now. If you're telling people that Kevin Hayes is going to make you better, most people will look at that and say no. He's 32. He's slow, and he hasn't scored the way you would expect him to score based on what you're paying him. So
no, the gist of it from the people who talk about write about this team was get used to this. This is how Dubas is going to go about the rebuild. You're going to have to take on guys like Kevin Hayes, another old slow guy, but you got the second round pick attached. Well, how many of those
and when
kinds of
not
trades?
Not just make it, but how long does it take for them to make it?
Right.
If you're one of the 15%, when do you emerge? Probably not for
Crosby,
5 years.
If you're Sid, are you in love with a plan that goes about it that way?
How does he look at this? And he hasn't apparently signed his deal yet, and he will, but I wonder how he is viewing all of this.
Well, again, here's the thing, Joe. Have they gotten better over the last 3 days?
Probably not, although he did score, 13 goals? No, they didn't get better. They didn't get better. They got older and slower, and it's being painted as they're getting younger.
Right.
It's like we're living. It's like the whole pirate thing. We're living in Never Never Land here.
I've said this many times
through the looking glass.
I've said this many times.
Nothing's real
because he wears these glasses, and he has the look of one of these analytics geniuses. Everyone has just basically labeled Kyle Dubas as the genius, and I'm like, why is he a genius? Like, what has he done that's like so awe-inspiring so far?
If he had, here's the other thing, the way it's being painted, is that last year he dove in and went all in. Well, that can't happen anymore. If he had signed and traded for a bunch of rentals and that was all over now,
yeah,
then okay, I'll buy that.
He gave six-year contracts.
Yeah, he brought in guys like Carlson.
And Graves.
Achari was a multi-year deal. Nieto still around here?
Eller was
a multi. No, he made a longer-term commitment to
Riley
older
Smith
guys
too, and now he's trying to get rid of Riley.
So here we go with the youth movement, and it's being kicked off by bringing in an old slow guy. It's crazy talk.
What I don't understand again, what would the discussion have been halfway through the season if Hextall had made all the moves that Dubas did?
Man, I'm glad that you brought him up. I was talking to somebody over the weekend, and I said to him, I'm starting to contemplate whether Ron Hextall's owed an apology. Not saying he was good at his job. He clearly wasn't. But I think Ron Hextall left to his own devices without pressure from above, pressure from all around, would have not signed Letang or certainly not Gino. He, I think, would have launched an actual rebuild, or at least he would have moved on from two of the core three.
Right. But he may have been under orders to do it.
I think he was pressured into making those two signings. I'm not sure an apology isn't in order for him.
One thing that you knew about Hextall when he was with Philly, he was into he wanted younger assets. So for him to do all of this, again, had to have had influence from above.
Here's the real kicker on the Dubas moves from last year. Who had more points last season, Mikhail Granlund or Erik Karlsson? Anybody? IT back there?
I think you've set
Kimmy,
up.
Kimmy Gibbler's boyfriend? You got an answer on that one? Granlund or Karlsson?
He thinks Granlund.
Yeah, Granlund. How's that for a punchline? After all of that, Granlund went out and got 60 points last season.
Joe, can I throw something at you?
Please.
So, P.O. Joseph was not tendered a contract.
Yeah.
The Penguins, about an hour ago, happy 25th birthday, P.O. Joseph, in a Twitter post as he hits free agency at noon.
Well, they got in before the deadline here, right?
Yeah, they did. His birthday or him? I don't know.
It might have been his wish.
I'm saying they got in before the deadline by saying happy birthday while he technically
is
still
true.
A Pirate. Yeah. Still a Penguins player.
They beat the deadline. So let's play this quote. And I want you to listen to this because I happen to catch it at the bottom of a story today, and I had to reread it. I said, that wasn't a headline across Pittsburgh today in every publication that we have, in every publication that's out there that deals with the Penguins. This quote, to me, marks a radical change in Penguins philosophy, unless I'm hearing it wrong. To me, this franchise is built to make the playoffs every single year. We've all been saying the idea is to get in with Sid and see if you can make a run. Every move that Kyle Dubas made last year when he came in
was for the playoffs. I thought that financially and competitively, playoffs was the goal for the Pittsburgh Penguins year after year after year, and always would be while Sid is here. Take a listen.
I think for me, the range, Dan, is looking beyond like just the one season, and I wouldn't deem it a success if we got into the playoffs next year by a point. We want to get back to being a contender, and so I probably look at it in a much more, I mean, the coaches and the players have to look at it day to day. They're trying to win every day. I have to look at it with a much broader lens of.
I wouldn't deem it a success next season if we got into the playoffs by a point. I wouldn't deem it a success if we got into the playoffs by a point. Thoughts?
Well, they budget for playoffs, which is why there were people laid off in their front office. For 2 years in a row, they haven't had it now. They budget for those. So they have to make it. That's part of their budget. That's what they expect. And if now you're in a situation where you're not expecting that and you've turned the other way, even though you probably won't say that, but by limiting what they can do in this free agent season, by doing what they did last year and bringing all these guys at more than 1 year contracts, you've kind of put yourself in a real tough bind right now. So I don't know what they think of themselves. They could tell you we're a playoff team, and with Crosby and Malkin and those guys, you should be. But also they're older, and I don't know that they can all of a sudden recreate what they had 2 or 3 years ago.
Isn't the idea to get in with Sid?
Yeah, just get in. Best of seven.
Yeah, I was going to
say, can happen.
What was his point?
I don't know. I mean, he didn't say, I wouldn't deem it a success if we got in by a point
and then
got
lost
swept.
And got swept. That's what I was waiting for him to say. But if you get in by a point, two rounds and got to the conference final, that's not a success.
I mean, isn't that the idea? It sure beats missing them by a point or two, which they've done the last couple of years. I would think. Right. I think what he's saying there is we want to be more than a team that's just scraping to get into the playoffs. Okay. But it sure beats getting in compared to not getting in, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you got to get in. And again, when you have high-end players like this, your goal would be once you get in, those guys can get hot and carry you through a best of seven. And that's exactly – we've been talking about the Pirates getting in and what, you know, a limited best two out of three would do for a team that has so much pitching. You just want to get in. That's the whole goal. And they did it for all these years, and now two in a row they haven't. I'd like to hear what his expectations are publicly.
Right, if you haven't made the playoffs for 2 years in a row and you get in by even by a point, that at least is an improvement, right?
You give yourself a shot. I mean, I get it. He wants to get back to where they comfortably get in the playoffs and they're considered by everyone to be a Stanley Cup contender. That's not happening anytime soon. So the idea, I thought, was let's get in by any means necessary. I thought the whole theme of this season was let's get back to the playoffs, and you have the general manager saying, I wouldn't deem it a success if we got into the playoffs by a point? What?
Yeah, I'm surprised to hear it, but then again, he's in a predicament. And I think that predicament is trying to satisfy now and think of later. It's just hard to do both. It really is.
What, Bob?
No, I said it's difficult to be in this situation that he inherited, which is why probably he asked for 7 years, because he knew it was going to take some time to get out of it down deep, you know.
Well, he had a funny way of showing that last off season.
Yes, but you know, you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He knew what he was getting himself into, and you could talk your way around it.
I understand what he means. If I'm a fan, if I'm the head coach, if I'm ownership, if I'm Sidney Crosby, I want to hear our GM say, we got to get back to the playoffs. That's the goal here. We've barely missed. We have Sidney Crosby. We need to give ourselves a shot. Not only do we have Crosby, he doesn't have to say this part out loud. We're basically locked into Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang. We have Erik Karlsson. We have Raquel. We have Rust. We're going to have Pettersson. We got a bunch of guys.
Are you going to have Pettersson?
Probably.
I hope so. But you
forget about him. You get the point. We have a core centered around old guys like Sid. The goal this year is to get back to the playoffs and give ourselves a shot. He didn't say that. He said, I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
I mean,
I've never heard a Penguins GM talk. Now you might agree. Somebody might interpret it in a way that they agree with Dubas. But either way, this quote is a major story.
There's no question about it. It is. Just because of how he said it.
Well, again, you know, to me, One of the things that, kind of frustrates me is the way that it's depicted, like he's completely been handcuffed.
Right.
He can't do his job. But as you pointed out, Joe, in your column, I don't know, somewhere maybe around February or March, you wrote a column basically saying, okay, well, let's look at all the moves he made
right
in the offseason, which included adding payroll, which included adding another superstar, which included, you know, basically not adding, but basically signing a goalie. I mean, he clearly had the ability to make a lot of moves, and the ones he made, none of them have turned out, or very few of them have turned out to be any good.
Adam Graves did not perform. He's got a whole bunch of time and money left. Tristan Jarry, they signed him with the expectation. Now, it didn't work out, but apparently, according to reports, that they were trying to move him this weekend.
Yeah.
That doesn't bode well for what he did, because that's guaranteed money he gave up. It makes it more difficult to get around.
I don't think I've ever seen a GM come into this town and be given more latitude than this guy. I mean, it's amazing day after day. A lot of GMs would like to be handcuffed to the tune that Dubas was handcuffed last offseason. He made the biggest deal in the whole NHL and brought in Erik Karlsson and a bunch of money. In handcuffs, I guess he managed to do that. Signed Jarry to a 5-year, $26.9 million contract. So he brought in Erik Karlsson. He spent $27 million on a goalie. He spent $27 million on a defenseman, Ryan Graves. Mm-hmm. If you're counting, that's $54 million on two players for poor handcuffed Kyle Dubas, right? He traded for Riley Smith and the $10 million left on his deal. Now we're up to $64 million. He brought in 7 years and $13 million to Noel Achari, Eller, and Nieto. So now we're up to 54, 64, $77 million, dollars, yeah. And six veteran players. But he was handcuffed? Now still this year, the storyline is, oh, poor Kyle Dubas, he's locked into all these deals. Yeah, including five of them that he made.
Right. I think the handcuff perception.
It's the most amazing perception of a GM. I've been here since 1989. It's the most amazing perception or misperception of a GM that I've ever seen in this town.
That's because people looked at him as what Paul said earlier, as this wonder kid who's going to come in and metrically make things happen, which he didn't do in Toronto, as it turned out. And yet, the expectation here was that he would. I think the handcuff perception comes from the fact that he had guys tied up to long-term deals who he knew he couldn't move if he wanted to move. Same thing that Hextall pretty much went through, to your point earlier. It probably wasn't Hextall's desire to sign Malkin long-term or Letang long-term. Maybe it was, but I think he had an influence from above. So that's the handcuff portion, but you're right. They still have plenty of wiggle room if you make the right moves. The other thing they got to start doing better is their system is really bereft of any kind of talent from a goal-scoring perception. They don't have anyone really they can say this year is going to come up. It took a while for O'Connor to do it, but he has. You got to give chances to people too. And it seems like when you kind of really heavily go after veterans, you're not giving any of your young guys a chance. I'm going to be interested to see what they do with Braden Jaeger. He's a young kid, but he's a center. He can't crack this lineup now. Even if he may be good enough to do it, he ain't going to crack it. What about Joel Blomqvist? Can he make the team if these two guys are still here, if he deserves to be?
Paul has mentioned this a lot, and I agree. There's also an arrogance to this. If you want to read the Dubas quote a different way, there's an arrogance to it because he could be saying, not good enough for us just to get in the playoffs by a point. We need to get back to being a legit contender. That's where the Penguins belong.
Right.
It should be, we got to get back by 1 point, by a half point, by any point. We've just missed the playoffs. It's my job to push us over the top, get us in, because for the 8 trillionth time, if you get in with Sid, at least you have a shot. But there's an arrogance to this saying, just being a fringe playoff team and getting in by a point, I wouldn't even deem that a success. I can tell you this much, Kyle, a hell of a lot of people would deem that a success.
Yeah, they wouldn't remember how you got in. All they would remember is you got in.
Right.
The matchups don't matter. If you're an 8 seed, you can beat a 1 seed. We've seen it too often, and teams are very closely assembled here.
Yeah.
So just get in.
I mean, they weren't that far off this year. I mean, but to me, they haven't addressed a couple of things they need to address before we can even think about them getting there. That's why I feel like Kyle Dubas is really in some ways on the clock right now. Because if we get to 2 weeks from now, and, you know, I'll say 2 weeks, but probably a week from now, and there hasn't been any shift or change in the roster to the point where you say, okay, now in this area they've gotten a little better here, they've gotten a little better there. I mean, they're going to be a team that's going to be basically fighting for the last playoff spot again.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you there, but I think the counter argument is if they had even a bad power play, even an average right. power play, they're in comfortably. And not only are they in comfortably, if they have the kind of power play they should have, which is a great one given the talent on hand, they would be problematic if they got to the playoffs. So again, my motto, if I were the GM around here, would be we're getting back. We're getting back. And once we're in with Erik Karlsson and Sid and Letang and Malkin and Raquel, we could be problematic. We could be trouble for a team if we got in. We could make a run. He's not saying that. I don't know where they are or what they're doing or what their philosophy is right now. I guess the best we can do is say they're bringing in Kevin Hayes in a second-round pick, and that's a good move because it's part of the rebuild.
Right. It doesn't make them better. That's the thing. I mean, it makes them
slower and older.
I mean, it's just, average, you know, whatever.
But they got that second-round pick, Bob, so here we go with the rebuild.
That's the point. It doesn't necessarily make them better.
Well, again, if you're operating from the premise of Sidney Crosby's here for, what, 3 or 4 more years maybe?
Yeah.
Or more, depending on what he wants. But if that's your goal here, to have these guys here as your, quote, big four, you have to win now. This is the whole idea behind it. And maybe they tried last year and they made mistakes. And you can look at all those deals, as you mentioned, looking back now as mistakes. When they were made, to your point when you opened this broadcast, you said hope. Everyone thought they were all – people were – just absolutely in love with Erik Karlsson coming to Pittsburgh. People
yeah.
thought Adam Graves, Adam Graves, not, I'm thinking of Mario.
Ryan Graves.
You know, they thought he was going to be, he's young, up and coming, 6-year deal. He's going to, but we had people back here who followed Devils hockey who said he's not that good. And that's a surprise. I forget who the producer was back here.
Nelly.
Nelly, that's right. He
Charles
said no.
Borges.
So he said, that's not a good deal. And he turned out so far to be right. And that doesn't mean they can't turn it around. I got to believe both guys should be better this year. But the power play was supposed to be this because of all this. It didn't work out. Why didn't it work out? You know, so.
Well, if I'm David Quinn and I'm in there analyzing tape right now and I don't go to Mike Sullivan and say Gino is really hurting the power play these days, then I'm derelict of duty.
But you're not going to get him to
And
change.
Of course, the big storyline there is even though him and Sully are best buddies, David Quinn's going to give him a lot of pushback. That's another storyline with the Penguins. Because so far, the biggest move of their offseason is bringing in Sully's best friend as the assistant coach.
Yeah, and again,
yeah,
I would bet that Evgeny Malkin is not going to be taken off that top power play.
And the other problem there's no is
way
Karlsson.
They could, there's no way that they could do that.
I mean, they could, but he'd be, you know, it would affect him.
Again, he's one of those players, if you did that, he would pout. He would become a real problem in that.
Well, the other problem is Karlsson.
Right.
Who's overrated as a power play guy. He had 2 power play goals. He had 2 more than you, Bob.
Yeah, that's not saying much, is it?
He had 2 more than Casey DeSmith had wherever he was last year. I mean, if you took shots attempted, he was like 2 for 300 last year on the power play. That's not an exaggeration.
No, and, you know, those guys are also stubborn in the way they do things. You know, you could, with the talent they have, if you had a different kind of system, watching a lot of playoff hockey, if you watch how Edmonton does it, I realize they have a lot of talent too, but they utilize it and move the puck quickly and they shoot different angles. Guys are rotating. If you look at the Florida Panthers, the way they had their power play, again, guys who are elite, but they create these different angles of attack.
Yeah.
That the Penguins are pretty much the way they work around the perimeter.
Yeah, I'm not sure you're going to convince these guys that that's the best way.
But after last year, and after last year, they have to.
But they won't.
Well, why didn't they change it halfway through last year?
I don't know. I'm just saying, don't they have to?
They had the power play of an expansion team, and that's not an exaggeration. It was one of the biggest abominations in the history of the franchise.
And they gave up a lot of shorthanded goals,
too. These guys have been doing the same thing for how long? They've been doing it the same way for how long, right?
Yeah. I don't think that's changing. David Quinn or no David Quinn. Your thoughts out there. We're going to get to the Pirates. It's JP Roofing and Siding off the top. Lots of Pirates, lots of Penguins.
talk about how these teams change their rosters. Ben Cherington, the only GM more disappointing than Kyle Dubas this weekend was Ben Cherington, I would say. There's a lot to talk about. Your thoughts as a Penguin fan when you hear the GM say, I wouldn't deem it a success if we made the playoffs by a point. Your thoughts as a Penguin fan when you're being told, basically, you better get used to Kevin Hayes-like deals. The Penguins taking on older, slower players, maybe bad contracts so they can attach second-round picks. I know you're all excited about the second-round pick that's coming next year. He's going to be 18. He may arrive in 2030. I'm sure Sid's excited about the second-round pick that got attached to the Kevin Hayes deal. I'm sure Sully's excited about this. You're being told as a fan, as a Penguin fan, you better get used to this. This is Kyle Dubas. This is the start of a rebuild. Old slow guys with draft picks attached. I can't think of anything more exciting, City Limits, than that. 412-928-9370. 928-9370. Would you rather hear, as a Penguin fan, we got to get back. We got to get back to the playoffs by any means necessary and then see what we can do with Sidney Crosby. That is not, absolutely not what you're hearing. 928-9370. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Can this guy do any wrong, Kyle Dubas?
Well, eventually, you know, the people will start to chirp up after watching it if it doesn't result in another playoff season this year. I think it's absolutely imperative they get in. If they don't, they have major, major questions to answer.
We should have a point tracker this year. Every day we update it. Mikhail Granlund against Erik Karlsson. So far it's 60-56.
Yeah, but you were Granlund. You liked the deal, didn't you, when it happened?
Of course I did.
Everyone did.
Of course I did.
And that was one of the reasons why they shed a lot of contract money they didn't want around, and they brought in a guy who supposedly was...
I'm not Mr. Analytics with my whole new staff I bring in to analyze everything to the nth degree about how Erik Karlsson's going to transform our power play, am I?
Right, right.
Instead of make it worse.
And the negatives on him, you know, popped up quite a bit.
Right.
They gave up a lot of shorthanded goals.
But also, that was a move to keep yourself as a viable contender for several more years.
Right. Everything was done that way.
Now I'm hearing that getting into the playoffs by a point won't be deemed a success.
No, you're right. That's, you know, you've changed tunes.
Now I'm hearing that the Penguins have pivoted here. Well, wait, he's still on the team. Malkin, Crosby, Letang, Raquel, Smith, Eller, Jari.
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
And the other thing is other GMs know this. They know where the Penguins are. So perhaps if they tried to trade a Jari or Riley Smith this week, but everybody knows the Penguins are trying to get rid of some money, so they're not going to get what they want maybe in return. St. Louis was a different situation. They were so desperate to get rid of Hayes, a second-round pick doesn't make any sense.
They're trying
when
to
you
live-
think of Jake Gensel's trade, it was for a third-round pick. Tampa gave up only a third-round pick to get him from Carolina.
Right.
I understand the contract was big, and that's a big part of it.
But
still, a second-round pick for Kevin Hayes.
They're trying to live in two worlds. They're trying to live in two worlds, Bob.
Yeah.
And I'd be a hypocrite. I said, if you're going to have Sidney Crosby, you better be all in all the time.
Right. Yeah, and the thing about it is they have tried to do that, I think. You know, you don't bring in a guy like Karlsson if you don't think, okay,
yeah,
he's going to give us the boost we need, and we'll have four elite stars or whatever. They haven't gone full rebuild.
No, like the Gensel thing. That seemed to be like a pivot point, but to me, I was thinking Gensel at what's he get? $9 million?
Nine, yeah.
Forever? You could take that money and put it into three players, two players, and a different kind of player, because it wasn't working with him either here,
yeah,
as far as winning big games, right?
Correct.
See, the thing about it is if 3 years ago, before they re-signed Letang and Malkin, 3 years ago, they committed to, we're rebuilding. We're going to, you know, trade these two guys, see what we can get for them. or if they don't want to be traded, you know, we'll try and let them know that they're not a part of our future and we're not going to re-sign them, so you might as well go somewhere else. And if they had done that, probably these last, you know, so probably now for Sidney Crosby, say he's got two or three more years left at a high level, they'd have a team that's ready to actually maybe make a move upward.
I think you just explain Hextall's plan. And right. Clearly, he probably wasn't the guy to deliver on that plan.
Right.
But I think left to his own devices, he just described what Ron Hextall wanted to do. And we would be sitting here 4 years later, 5 years later, whatever it was, whenever he first sort of hatched his plan of let's move on from these guys and start a rebuild, like a real one.
Yeah, history shows you that you hang on to guys, even elite players like that, Hall of Fame players, sooner or later, they're going to basically just flame out. And when that happens, you're left with nothing. The Kings had that. The Anaheim Ducks with their core three had it. The Chicago Blackhawks had it. All these teams that have it, if you hang on too long, you can end up being in the situation they're in. So
I'd rather be the Blackhawks right now, wouldn't you? With Connor Bedard and you know, now you work your way back up.
But it took hanging on too long to get that number one overall pick. And that's
sure, but
the whole,
they got it.
But they got it. And, yes, I thought Gensel might go there.
Do you think
actually.
That Sidney Crosby would have any interest in playing on a team that got the number one pick? He probably
depends
wouldn't.
On who that number one pick
he
is.
Probably
it's a generational.
Unless they made it clear to him, listen, we're stripping it down because we want your last two or three years in a Penguins uniform. We want you to have the best chance to go get another cup.
Yeah. But so it's too late for that now.
No, it probably is. But that's what I'm saying. A couple of years ago, they probably could have sold him on that. On the idea of, listen, we might have a rough year or two, but we're going to create a bunch of cap space. We're going to go get some young players. We're going to draft. We're going to get some young players to bring in here. And then once a couple of those guys are ready to help you win, we'll go sign a couple of other guys that are young and, you know, whatever, and put together a team that's really ready to make a run.
412-928-9370. You're a Penguin fan. What are you thinking right now? You heard what the GM just said. What are the Penguins trying to do, in your opinion? What do you want them to do? Seems like they're trying to live in two worlds at once.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Little Penguins to kick it off. Just curious, as a Penguins fan, when you hear the GM say making the playoffs by a point, we wouldn't deem it a success. Does that mean we need to make it by many points, or we need to be legitimately competing for a cup? Seems to me that making the playoffs, especially these days, would be a success. I thought that the idea was to get back by any means necessary and give yourself a shot with Sid. I thought that was the whole organizational philosophy. I thought the Penguins existed to make the playoffs, both financially, competitively. I thought that was the whole model. And if you get in by a point, I don't think there's any shame in that. It's a competitive league, Paul.
Well, I think that's the whole point. I mean, I'm never one that subscribes to the theory that we basically have to you know, any team that gets in can you know, if you any team that gets in has a chance to win. I don't necessarily believe that, but in the case of the Penguins, you know what? You'd much rather take their chances of getting in than not getting in, because if they don't get in, they have no chance.
Right. Listen, I'm all in favor of tanking and sinking to the bottom of the league. But if you're not going to do that, the idea is to get in. And they're clearly not doing that. The best they can do when they look to the future is bring in Kevin Hayes and have a second round pick attached to him.
And then you see moves like, apparently New Jersey's about to sign Jonathan Marchessault from Vegas.
Yeah.
And they're loading up now. And the Eastern Conference to begin with is a tough conference based on how many teams already are in this window of winning championships. And that would include, of course, Florida that just won it, Carolina. I think the Devils are taking a step forward. There are a lot of other teams, too, that present problems. So,
hey, he made his moves last year.
Right.
Dubas's big moves to keep this team a contender were made last year when,
right.
when he dropped $54 million on Jarry and Graves.
$77 million, based on your math, on total.
Yeah, total.
That's still what I'm saying.
On Carlson, a huge financial commitment for the future. And then old guys like Achari, they weren't all one-year guys. In fact, none of them were, hardly.
Well,
but now we're supposed to believe, oh, he made his, you know, he thought last year that they were a contender. Now he doesn't anymore. Well, it's a little too late. Everybody was signed to a multi-year deal, Paul.
But the other part of it is, it's going back to what I said before, it is why I have a hard time with all of these people who claim that, well, he's hamstrung. Well, he wasn't hamstrung last year.
Yeah.
He was able to make a lot of moves. My question is, if he made different moves and they were better, would we still be talking about him being hamstrung?
If the design that he had in mind last year had worked, they would be coming off a playoff year.
Exactly.
Because Carlson would have boosted the power play. Other guys would have boosted the bottom six. Jarry would have been good. Graves would have been really good. He was wrong on all of it. Sorry. He was wrong on all. He had tons of money to spend, freedom to do whatever he wanted. He did it, and he did a crappy job. That's the story I'm still waiting to read from somebody at some point.
Yeah, and you can add names like Riley Smith. That was a trade that people thought, oh, that was a great trade. You bring in a guy who just won a Stanley Cup, and he's going to give you veteran experience. And, he just did not have the kind of year I think they expected. All of those guys that he brought in were not what people thought when they made those deals. And so now you're stuck. If you were stuck last year, you're more stuck now, I think.
Right.
In terms of this current Penguin edition, you can accumulate draft picks. If that's what they're going to do, that's fine for the future.
That does Sidney Crosby no good. A second-round pick next year will never do Sidney Crosby any good.
It won't do anyone good who's in this current situation. The whole idea was to take advantage one last shot to win a cup.
Let's go to the phone lines, Limits.
It's Sean in Monroeville.
What's up, Sean?
Yeah, so like you said about Jarry, he's so inconsistent between the pipes. And we need a goalie and a team that I think we need to bolster defense, which we got a few new defensive line, but they're not going to be that level for a while. And like you said about Carlson boosting the power play, if you can't win on the power play, you're not going to win elsewhere.
Well, they were a pretty good 5-on-5 team. That's what makes it even worse, that they were a good 5-on-5 team, but their power play disappointed. If the power play had gone just to 25% as opposed to 15%, they would have gotten into playoffs.
Paul, why isn't that the Dubas message this offseason? Why didn't he get up on the dais? Is that the word for it, Bob? The dais?
Yeah.
And scream from the mountaintops, this was a legitimate playoff team. Our power play was horrific.
Right.
If we had we should have a good power play. If we had a great power play, we're in the playoffs comfortably and maybe capable of a run based on power play.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, it didn't come off that way.
It didn't work. We have to make it work next season. We have to. That's why David Quinn is here. We're getting back. We're a good 5-on-5 team. That would be my message.
Right. That's the thing. But here's the thing. I don't understand why with the players that they have there with the Penguins, why that has to be a message. I mean, you've got guys that have been in the league for 20 years or 15 or 18
years. His message to the public.
Right, but what I mean is That should be one of those things where by as you said, by midseason last year, they should have changed.
Yeah, I'm not convinced it'll change.
And so I think honestly what happens, Joe, and you know, we'll get to Ben Cherington in a little bit, I'm sure, but you know, Cherington at least said some of the quiet part out loud yesterday or whatever it was when he said something like, well, the players that are here improving will help us way more than any, you know. So that kind of gives you a preview of what's probably coming in the next few weeks. But Dubas, if he were to say, well, the power play improving is how we're going to improve, that would in some ways take his intelligent, you know, his aura as the intelligent guy who's going to fix all this off the table. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden now it's not, well, I'm going to come up with some ingenious formula of players.
Right.
That's going to transform this place.
Yeah, we're spending $80 million on a power play.
Yeah.
It needs to produce, period.
Right.
But yeah, you're right. Now watch me go out and attach second round picks to guys. It'll be the most amazing rebuild you've ever seen. Next.
Right.
There's Paul in the North Hills.
What's up, Paul?
Hey, how you guys doing? I think what he's meaning by that is good is not good enough when greatness is expected. You have four potential Hall of Famers, probably four Hall of Famers. Paul just mentioned, you know, making moves that are going to exponentially make this team better. I would like to say I think Carlson was that last year and it didn't pan out. So I don't think he's trying to say that just making the playoffs is good enough or missing it by one point or whatever. What I think he's trying to say is when you have great players, you expect greatness, and I think that's the standard that the Penguins should be at, as with the Steelers standard is the standard. I don't think there's a difference here with that. I think he's just trying to say when you have great players, you know, we need great results, and you know, I think you're just misinterpreting what he was trying to get at.
Isn't there a hint of arrogance to that, though?
I mean, it's arrogant. Either or not, you have 3 years left with Sidney Crosby, man. If you have great players, you expect greatness if you're a coach.
But that's not what he said. That's not what he said. He didn't say, we expect to be contending for a cup. That's what this roster is. We're good enough. Say it out loud, then. That's what I would say to that, Paul.
Yeah, exactly.
If that's what he believes, then say it out loud.
I don't think he really believes that. Do you think that?
No.
I mean, I do. I think, like you said, when you have Sidney Crosby, I mean, if you get in the playoffs with him, Malkin at the end of the year ended up turning it on pretty well. You know, there's always the potential to make moves, and especially if you get us in the playoffs. But I'm just saying good is not good enough is what he means. And when you sign someone like Carlson, that's a great signing. That is trying to be great. That's not trying to be good when you sign somebody of his caliber.
So if the Penguins make the playoffs next year by a point, will you be happy?
I mean, you know, I agree with this. Yes, because we're in, and I think if the Penguins get in, there's always a shot. But what I'm saying was he means by just getting in by a point shouldn't be the standard. It should, yeah, to be dominant when we have dominant players.
Yeah, but he's not helped them. And last year, you know, proved positive that he didn't. He went out and made a whole bunch of signings, and they did not work out. And that would include Carlson.
Hindsight's always 2020.
I understand that, but that he's not judged on that. He's judged on the results.
I'm just saying when you break down what he's saying and it should be a headline, I mean, he's tried to make great moves and they just didn't pan out. We can say that, you know, looking back on it because it's already happened. But when he's saying that, you know, isn't good enough, it's because he wants to be great. We want to be great when we have four great players.
Still a headline, though. If you want to interpret it that way, isn't the headline just making the playoffs not good enough for Dubas? I mean, that to me is a headline, too. Yes.
I mean, if you want to break it down that way, yeah, I'm just saying if you...
That's the way you're breaking it down. Just making the playoffs isn't good enough for Dubas. He wants greatness.
Right.
That's exactly what you said.
He wants greatness because he's got great players.
Yeah, and that's maybe, if you put it in that way, yes, that's what I'm saying, but I just don't think it's that big of a headline.
I think it's a pretty big headline that not making the playoffs or making the playoffs not good enough for Dubas. That's a big headline. Maybe I'm wrong. Thank you. Either he deems them capable of greatness, or he's saying, you know, if we're just in the middle of the pack here, just getting in by one point, not good enough. I'd say when you've missed by one point the last couple of years, getting in by one point would be a major triumph.
Right.
Let me ask you this, though.
Especially if you have, quote-unquote, great players. If you get into the thing, aren't you a threat to win?
Yeah, I mean, if there's a big difference between getting in and not getting in. That's a breaking news story, right?
Especially in the NHL. NHL, you could be barely getting in, but hot and win the entire thing. That's especially with those kind of guys. But let me ask you this, aside from all of that.
Yeah.
I would expect this year the Carlson and Graves got to be better than what they showed last year. Would you expect that?
No.
You wouldn't expect that?
Nope.
Because I think Graves has to be better.
I think it might get worse with Carlson. Why would it? Tell me why.
Because
it would
a year
get better.
Here, a year with the entire experience of being with this group, and whatever changes will be made to their power play, and I got to believe there's going to be some. Otherwise, why would you hire David Quinn? It has to be better. He's too talented not to be better. Him specifically.
Maybe it's just a bad fit, and maybe it gets
could
worse.
Be.
Maybe Gino.
Could be, or maybe year
Gino
two it gets better. You know,
yeah, I mean,
don't know.
It could. I'd allow for that possibility, but the assumption that Carlson, this is going to be way better in year two, it didn't seem like he was a good fit at all. Plus, if Gino continues to erode on the power play, I'm not sure it won't get worse.
It could be.
Graves, I see nothing to believe that he's going to earn the money that he was paid.
Would agree with that, but I also think he has to be better and can be better than he was last year.
Paul?
Again, I don't know why it was, but he was not good, and I expected more from him based on what he had done.
Based on what they paid him, too.
Mm-hmm.
Based on his contract, and you know what I mean? Based on, to me, if you want to grade all of the deals that Dubas made, I mean, that one probably is near the bottom. Would you agree with that, Joe? Graves, I mean,
yes.
That's probably an F.
That's at the bottom.
What's Carlson, a C? A D? C? I mean, you have to give
based
it,
on expectations, but, definitely D range.
Right, but have to give it a C because he was able to unload a bunch, you know, to get him. So,
Jarry an F.
Jarry's an F. I mean...
Didn't rebuild the bottom six.
I'll tell you the one deal that he made that I think probably you'd have to give maybe like a B is the Guentzel deal.
Yeah.
Trading Guentzel for...
Michael Bunting.
Yeah.
I like Michael Bunting.
I thought he helped them down the stretch.
He was
thought
different.
That was a good deal. He gave them something they didn't have.
Right. He was different. And not only that, if you can get a few of these, I don't know who else they can get in free agency because they're not going to get the big names out there that could help you more playing that style of hockey, a different style of hockey. That's why I wanted Max Domi. I would have liked him. Even a Tyler Bertuzzi, both signed today with other teams. So, those are the kind of players. And Domi got $15 million over. It wasn't that much money. I would have gone for a guy like that just because he's different.
I guess that guy got me thinking that last caller. You know, there are different ways to interpret the quote by Dubas. But the reality, I would think, that us three can agree on, everybody in the hockey world can agree on, is that the Penguins are a fringe playoff team. The Penguins are a fringe playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Do we all agree on that?
I wouldn't put them in it.
That's what they were. I mean, absolutely.
So, to me, the entire goal then should be one of two things. Either scrap it and rebuild by any means necessary, or try to get in.
Right.
They got it. They have to.
So,
getting
in by a point should actually be the goal this year and give yourself a shot.
And especially since I really don't think that you are going to be able to make enough moves to make yourself what he wants, which is easily in the field playoff team. So if that's the case, it should be basically let's do everything in our power to get in. And hope when once we get in, we catch magic here, lightning in a bottle and our four stars carry us.
Right.
That's what your goal almost has to be, because it's unrealistic to me to think that you're going to be able to make enough moves to go to like to become like this 102 point team.
Yeah.
I just don't see that.
I mean, the goal that he came in with was to build a winner. You don't pay a goalie $27 million, start in the back end. They're paying the goalie $27 million. And they brought in a veteran backup who was good last year. So what they did in gold screams, we think we can win. What they've done on the back line screams, we think we can win. They have Chris Letang and Eric freaking Carlson who won the Norris Trophy. They went out and got him. They signed Ryan Graves for $27 million. They're probably about to sign Pettersson. So their back end screams, we think we're a winner. So now we go goalie to the back end to the forward group. They have Sidney Crosby. They retained and signed Evgeny Malkin for $6 million a year.
Right.
They still have Rickard Rakell signed to a big deal. They have Brian Rust signed. They brought in guys who have won, like Lars Eller, Riley Smith, in their bottom six. Everything about the way that he has built this team screams, we think we can win.
No question. 100% what you just said on every one of those points. And yet they didn't get in. But then there's no movement other than Todd Reirden gets fired and they bring in a guy who's good friends with Mike Sullivan. Now, David Quinn did get a lot out of, wasn't he a coach with Carlson?
Yeah.
At some point.
But let's be honest, Carlson's 100-point season was born of playing on a crappy team.
Absolutely. And he hasn't won a Stanley Cup, and that says a lot that you got a guy like that who hasn't really been in contention to win a Stanley Cup. The one year, maybe, when Ottawa was here, you know, and he was part of that Ottawa team that Chris Kunitz eliminated. But other than that, not much. And I think, you know, the expectation is to win now. It has to be.
Except if you're going to have all these guys. Except that they're living in two worlds with that, Bob. That's the whole thing.
But they didn't last year. Last year they didn't live. To your point,
well,
this makes your point.
They traded Gensel, though.
Okay, no, last year in the leading up to their season, they were living in the moment.
Right.
All these moves you described were designed to help them win last year.
And still are.
And still are, but they didn't work out. Not even close. So what will they be a year later? And I still think there is room to think that they can be better. A lot of those guys.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Let's continue this conversation and then dive into the other GM who spoke this weekend, Ben Cherington. And pretty disappointing series. And where are the Pirates and what are they going to do moving ahead here in a critical part of their season?
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.